All right, I want you to get your Bibles out. If you have your Bibles or your smartphones or your tablets, whatever you use to get to the Word, and I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 4. We're in a series going through the Gospel of Mark, my favorite book of the Bible. No pun intended. No, actually, there was one. We've been going through each chapter, and we're not going really verse by verse, but I'm just taking something out of each chapter that the Holy Spirit says, okay, this is the message for this Sunday. And so I know that as I was going through this, I could have taught on Mark chapter 4 for several months, because there's the parable of the sower, there's all kind of parables in it, but the Lord told me to talk about one specific thing, and so that's what we're going to look at today. And so these are really just, if you haven't been here for Mark 1, 2, 3, and 4, that's okay. Yeah, you're going to hear Mark 4 today. You can go back online and listen to them. I'm saying this so people here can hear it, people that are watching on Church's Aid and hfchurch.com, also on our radio ministry. KECO does this every Sunday morning, but it's a week behind. And so, but I've had people contact me and say, well, how can I hear the rest of that message? Because sometimes it doesn't get it all recorded on there, because it's only like a 30-minute broadcast, depends on how long-winded Pastor Mark is. But you can go to hfchurch.com and always listen to the podcast on there, and I appreciate Travis takes care of that. Give Travis a big hand clap, because that is a wonderful ministry. Even when he's gone, he always comes out here and makes sure he uploads it and gets it all taken care of. But so these are standalone messages, and I really believe that this message is really going to speak to us today. It really has spoken to me. And just give you a little fun facts about the Gospel of Mark. Fun facts for you. That's a Paul Blart. Fun facts for you. If you've ever watched The Zookeeper. Some fun facts for you about the Gospel of Mark. Number one, it's the first of the four Gospels that was written. A lot of people think it was Matthew. My brother's here today. He was named after Matthew. I was named after Mark. And so that's what we were told. And so, but sorry, brother, I was first. I'm firstborn. I'm first Gospel. First of the four Gospels that was written. I like giving my brother a hard time. Number two, it's fast-moving and action-packed. It's the shortest of the Gospels. It's only 16 chapters long, and it's the Gospel that every new believer needs to read. A lot of times we tell, you know, new believers to go to the Gospel of John. That's good, but we really need to tell them to go to the Gospel of Mark and read it, because it's only 16 chapters, but it really gets into Jesus' life and ministry. It just starts right out with Jesus getting baptized and then his ministry, and 40% of this gospel, the Gospel of Mark, talks about the week before Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And so today, I had you turn to Mark chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 4. Today's message title, if you want to write down a title, is Trusting God in a Storm. Look at somebody and say, there are going to be storms. All right. Now we're going to jump down to Mark chapter 4. And if you go home today and read Mark 4, if you've been keeping up and reading, when you start out in Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching. He's teaching his disciples plus the crowds that are following him. And he's taught about the parable of the sower. He's taught about the light under a basket. He's taught the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. And then all of a sudden, Jesus gets tired. He's been ministering to people all day long. He's been teaching all day long. And this shows us Jesus' humanity. Not only was he God, but he was also human in flesh. And he was tired. And he tells his disciples, he gets in a boat, and we're going to pick this up in verse 35, and it says, on the same day that he'd done all this teaching to the disciples and to the crowds, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. I want you to notice he didn't say, let me. He said, let us. Basically, you guys are coming with me. Now, when they had left the multitude, because there was crowds all around, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him, meaning there was people following him. When they saw Jesus get in the boat, they was like, hey, Jesus is getting in the boat. Let's go get our boat. Let's follow Jesus wherever he's going. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. A lot of you have heard this story if you've been in church any length of time. It says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Wow. You know, here's the deal. It's one thing to fall asleep in your chair or fall asleep in church, things like that. But when you get a pillow, that means you're really going to sleep. So I better not see any of you show up to church with the pillow. So I'm telling you, Jesus is, he's tired, is what I'm saying. Somehow he found a pillow. And one translation calls it a cushion, but he got him a pillow, and he's like, I'm going to sleep. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Everybody say teacher. Because they've been hearing him teach all day long, teaching the word, teaching the gospel, the kingdom, teaching all these great truths, these great parables. And so they call him teacher, and they say, do you not care that we are perishing? Now these are, just so you understand the backdrop of this story, these are experienced fishermen. These are experienced salesmen. These are experienced guys in a boat. These aren't green hands, all right? They are scared to death because they're going out onto the Sea of Galilee. And I've studied about the Sea of Galilee, and it's kind of like down in a bowl. And when storms rise up, they come down on both sides, and they can cause all kinds of waves and storms. And it's not a good scenario to be out there, and especially at night. And this is going on. And these guys are experienced fishermen, like I said, experienced in boats, and they're scared to death. And in verse 39, it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still, or hush your fuss. You know, peace be still. Now, I want you to, you know, and we always have in our mind that it just kind of just slowly calmed down, you know, when we're reading this. And it says, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I'm talking immediately. I mean, in the blink of an eye, as quick as you can snap your finger, there was waves, you know, 7-8 foot tall going up on over this boat. And all of a sudden, it is glass. And these disciples are looking at themselves in the water over the side of the boat. That's how fast this happened. Okay, so they went from scared to really scared. Like, who is this dude? Okay, everybody with me? Are you getting in the story? Are you in the boat this morning? It says, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But everybody say, great calm. Okay, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. There's another great fear. That means a great fear. And they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? They are amazed. Now, if you're taking notes, this is noteworthy. There's three storms that are going on in this passage or in this text. Number one, there's a circumstantial storm. Number two, there's an emotional storm. And number three, there's what I call a theological or a spiritual storm. Theology just means the study of God. Theology means, you know, do you know God? And so these are the three storms that are going on. And I'm going to tell you guys, I wish I could tell you that you're going to get saved and on your journey and following the Lord, there's not going to be any storms. But guess what? There's going to be storms. And storms, they're because God don't send them. It's because we live in a fallen world. Okay? We live in a fallen world. But storms, if you will allow them, they can work out a great purpose within you. And storms are a part of your journey to know who Jesus is and to know who you are. And they're a great revelatory thing that can happen to you if you allow it to happen and go through the process. Some people get into storms for, you know, because of decisions that they have made. You know, you caused your own storm. How many have ever done that? Hello, I have. Okay. But here, what I'm talking about today is a storm that you didn't cause. It's just a storm because you have your feet on the planet and you're breathing the air here and you're going through life. And there's just some great revelation to this. And this is, and I've shared this with you before, but John 16, verse 33 says, these things I have spoken to you, this is Jesus talking, he says, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. Hello, you're going to have storms. Look at somebody and say, you're going to have storms. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Life is not always going to be smooth sailing, but you can have peace in the storm. All right, here's number one. We're going to go through this, each storm that was going on. Here's number one, the circumstantial storm. If you go back to verse 35, it says this. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude. They took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. There's a circumstantial storm going on. There's actually a literal storm going on. These guys are scared to death, but I want you to know something. They were in the will of God because Jesus had told them, we're going to go on to the other side. Not just me, but you guys are going with me. And even all these little boats that are following us, we're all going to go to the other side. So they're in the will of God for their lives. There's others that are in the storm with them. And it's a storm out of your control. You did not cause it. You feel helpless and hopeless. And there's some of you here today that you're in a storm and you're thinking, God, I must have missed God somewhere. And I'm here to tell you, no, you didn't. You're right smack dab in the middle of God's will for you. Amen. But you've got choices to make in the midst of the storm because there's other people with you. Your family, there's people following you. There's other boats behind you. And it may be a storm, and it is a storm that's out of your control. I mean, you didn't cause it. It's just because you're walking with God and a storm showed up. You did not cause it, and you feel hopeless and helpless. Have you ever been there? I have been there many a time in life. And then what happens is when we get our eyes on the storm and we take our eyes off of Jesus and we get our eyes on the storm and the problem, here's what happens. We get into an emotional storm. And these guys, I wrote this down, because they weren't just scared, they were scared, all right? That's the redneck language for really scared. Their emotions were way high. They were looking at the waves and everything, and they were panicking because they were focused on the problem. And that's what happens to us. A lot of people go through life, and they live by their emotions because they're not focused on the promise or they're not focused on Jesus. They're always focused on the problems at hand. And they're an emotional wreck. And the enemy just has a heyday with them because of that. So that's why you've got to get into the Word of God, renew your mind according to the Word of God, so that you can have peace even in the midst of a storm. All right, so this emotional storm's going on. Everybody getting something this morning? All right, here's the third thing that happens. Then what happens is there's a theological or a spiritual storm, verse 38. In verse 38, look at verse 38. It says, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, talking about Jesus, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now, I want you to notice something. They hadn't had the revelation yet that he was Lord. The only revelation that they had was this guy's a pretty good dude. I'm thinking about following him. In fact, I gave up my whole fishing career to follow this guy. He's a really good teacher, and he does miracles and heals people. But they haven't had the revelation that he's Lord. They said teacher when they woke him up. And that really jumped out at me. They said teacher instead of Lord. And here's another thing. They went to Jesus after they had done everything they could do and in amongst themselves to stop the storm or to get themselves through the storm. They finally said, you know what? He's here. You know, he's done some pretty cool stuff here, you know, on land. What can he do out here? Let's wake him up. And so they woke him up. And, you know, when they woke him up, they said, don't you care that we're perishing? And that went off inside of me because if you've ever been through a storm, what the enemy does is get up here and start whispering in your ear, God don't love you. God don't care about you. God doesn't even know that you're going through this. And so what happens is you start questioning and doubting God in yourself, and you start saying this, God, what I heard about you, oh, yeah, I hear Pastor Mark every Sunday going, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Well, God, where is your goodness at today? Ever been there? Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, that's what I do to myself. God, I got up Sunday morning and said, God is good, and Monday I'm like, God, this ain't good, you know? And so what happens is the enemy gets in there and starts whispering his lies and stuff, and then we start saying, what I heard about you, God, and your nature and what I'm experiencing doesn't match up. And that's what's going on in this boat. And so they're having this theological dilemma, or there's a spiritual storm going on. And here's, oh, I hate to refer to Ricky Bobby, but we're a redneck church. We're a redneck church. But they're praying to 8-pound baby Jesus, okay? And that's their mentality of Jesus. Teacher, that's mentality of 8-pound baby Jesus still in the manger. And I want to tell you something about Jesus. You need to get a better picture than Ricky Bobby of Jesus. when you're going through a storm. Because we serve a God, not only is human and he can feel what we feel and has gone through what we've gone through, yet without sin, but we serve a Savior that was resurrected from the dead, has power over death, hell, and the grave, has power over any storm that you're going through, has power over any financial crisis that you may be going through, has power over any doctor's report that you've received. He's got power over everything. And you've got to have that revelation. You've got to see Jesus as a 6'1", 200-pound, just built, ripped, ready to take on the world instead of the 8-pound baby Jesus. Sorry for the Ricky Bobby illustration, but that's the best I could come up with. You've got to have that kind of mentality. You've got to have that image of Jesus who's got on this white robe and he's defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he is not just Lord, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what you've got to see Jesus as. Now, here it is. Jesus, the sleeping Savior. I'm getting this pushback up. You know, when you're preaching, if you've ever preached, you get this pushback up here, and I'm feeling this deal like, who's Ricky Bobby? All right. Forget it. Strike it. Some of you haven't seen Talladega Nights, okay? There you go. That's your movie reference for today. And God forgive, yeah, don't watch it, okay? You'll lose brain cells watching it. All right, let's get back in spiritual mode. I just felt that, and I got to get back, and I should have never used Ricky Bobby as a sermon illustration. But Jesus is seen here as the sleeping Savior, all right? Really, he's not even seen as Savior yet until they see him calm the storm. They're like, okay, he's the Savior. He just saved us. But they're just seeing him right now as the sleeping teacher. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Who are you waking up to solve your problem? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. So as soon as they wake up Jesus, after they've done everything they can do to take care of the ship and keep him from sinking and everything else, because these guys are experienced salesmen, they're experienced sailors, they're experienced fishermen, they wake Jesus up, and the first thing that Jesus does is he speaks to the circumstance that they're going through, the circumstantial storm, and he says, peace, be still, hush your fuss, and it stops. And then he turns and he speaks to his disciples, and he says, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? And basically what he was asking them, he said, why did you let the problem trump my promise? Because if you go back to verse 35, he told them, let us cross over to the other side. Jesus knew they were going to make it. And the way Jesus treated this storm is just the way you treated this storm this morning. Patricia, I'm going to tell off on Patricia this morning. She's our church secretary around here, does an awesome job. And I love Patricia. But Patricia texted me this morning and she said, you know, it's thundering outside, it's raining. Can I just sleep in and watch you on church's aid? And I text back and I said, oh, okay, LOL. If the pastor has to go, you have to go too. That's how Jesus treated this storm. He went and got his pillow and he just fell asleep. He's like, man, I just hear the roll of the thunder and I've got the promise from my Father. We're going to make it to the other side and it's going to be okay. And I'm just going to sleep through all this. And these disciples, they're afraid. And he's asking them, why are you guys afraid? I'm with you. Where is your faith? Why did you let the problem trump the promise? Now, there's something else that comes out in this story that I wanted to show you. There's three times the word great shows up. It says there was a great storm, there was a great calm, and then it also says about the disciples that their fear was great, and their fear was the fear of the Lord, being the reverence that they had for Jesus once they realized that he's not only just teacher, he's Lord of the storm. And three times the word great shows up in this passage, and great in Greek is the word mega. So look at somebody say mega. Okay, so there was a mega storm, there was a mega calm, and then they had a mega fear. And here's the deal, what happens is, just like with the disciples, when we're going through things in life, when we're going through a storm, we magnify the storm to the point where it's greater than God. And we have to remember and have this mind renewal that God is bigger than any storm that you can go through in life. And that's where that mega fear, that's not that they were afraid of Jesus. It was that they had this reverential fear of God, that he is so big and so massive, he can calm a storm just like that. And God can do the same for you. And this made me think of something when they had this revelation. This is in Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. This was the passage I wanted you to turn to. And if I could have our, I'm going to go ahead and have our praise team come back up here and be ready. Okay, guys? So we don't have any pauses. Because we're going to go out with this song today that we sang. You guys can just come up there and sit down for just a little bit. But I just wanted y'all to be up there and ready before I read this part. Because this is the last passage of scripture that we're going to read today is Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. And this is talking about Jesus being our compassionate high priest. And it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to ask you again, have you woke Jesus up? Have you woke him up? Look at somebody and say, have you woke him up? Because here's what we do when we go through a storm, and I'm guilty of this too. When we go through storms in life, is the first person that we look at is Jesus, or do we start talking to others about it? Waking up everybody around us, you know what I'm going through? Yeah, you know what I'm going through? And because we want that sympathy from others. We want that empathy from others as well. And so we start talking to everybody else, and we haven't woke up Jesus yet. And usually Jesus is the last resort that we go to, and Jesus wants to be the first resort. Amen. And it's not just the big storms that we're going through. Like any little bitty thing that disrupts you, your peace, he wants you to go to him. And this passage that I just read in Hebrews chapter 4, talking about Jesus being our compassionate high priest, this is something that the disciples at that time, they didn't have this revelation of who Jesus really was. They saw him as teacher, but he was Lord. He was our high priest, and he's our Savior, and he's our King. And they didn't have that revelation yet. And what this is saying in Hebrews chapter 4 is that Jesus is the God-man that can both feel it and fix it. Not only does he know, feel what you're going through, he can also fix it. And you've got to know that. And while I was, we're going to, I got my pillow this morning. I brought my pillow to church this morning. And I had a revelation as I was studying this week, and I could not get my mind off of that pillow, and when Jesus was asleep on the pillow. And I got to thinking, you know, he just wasn't asleep in there on a bench, you know, up underneath the stern in the back of the boat. This dude, Jesus, grabbed a pillow. And I had this thought that when you go grab a pillow, you're really going to sleep. You're not just taking a nap, you're really going to sleep. So he was resting in his Father, because the Father had already told him that they're going to go to the other side. Now the disciples weren't at rest. And I'm going to tell you how this happened to me so you can understand. Have you ever looked at a pillow and just teared up? This happened to me. I was studying this and just kept thinking about this pillow, and where I was studying at is in our house, the way Jada has our furniture arranged, I have the poppy chair or the daddy chair, right? And I'm sitting in it, and it's early in the morning, and I'm going over my notes and my message for today. And this is where I was going to end the story today. But I kept all week as I've been, because I knew this was the passage that, so I'll get the passage in my mind like on Monday when I read Mark chapter 5. Feel like this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to hone in on, and I'll just think about it all week and pray over it and say, Lord, what's the revelation that you want me to teach people from this about you? Because it's all about him, and that's who we need to focus on in this story, is him. How did he handle it? He was at perfect rest, sleep on a pillow, because he had the promise from his father that they were going to the other side. So he treated it just like the storm this morning. Oh, man, listen to that thunder. You know, listen, I'm just going to take a nap while we, and I'll just let the father just rock me to sleep out here till we get to the other side. And so I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm thinking, Lord, you know, that's easy for you to say. You know, I'm starting to feel, I'm feeling all this compassion for the disciples and what they're going through. And because I'm like, man, they didn't know who you were yet. I mean, they just heard all this great teaching on the shore, but they hadn't figured out who you are. And I was sitting there in my chair, and I looked over at the couch, which is across from me. All right, I'm not sitting on the couch. I'm sitting in the chair, and I look over at the couch, and I see this pillow on the couch that I've used a lot of times whenever I eat too much of Jada's good cooking on Sunday afternoon, which is what I'm going to do today. And then I go lay on the couch and I watch TV and I take a nap, right? But I've never really paid much attention to what was on this pillow till this day. And this is what got me teary-eyed, Dusty, over a pillow. God was speaking to me through a pillow, whether you believe it or not. And I'm thinking about this passage, and I look over at that pillow, and the Lord just spoke to me. He said, Mark, you know what? He said, there's been a lot of storms in your life, and I'm fixing to turn 50, and some of them I signed up for. Dad's laughing like that ain't old. And I've been through some storms. Some of them I created on my own. Some of them I didn't sign up for. And I was just thinking of some of the ones that I hadn't signed up for, you know, those kind of storms, because this is what this is talking about. And I was just thinking, God's like, man, thank you, Father, that you've been there with Jade and I through a lot of different storms, a lot of different things that's happened. And he said, but Mark, there were a lot of times that you were sitting over there in that chair and I wanted you on the couch with me. I was like, he said, you were close, just in proximity, but you weren't right there with me. You weren't resting with me. Meaning you were still trying to fix it, trying to take care of it, talking to everybody else instead of coming over on the couch and talking with me about it. And I was like, yeah, I know. I've done that. And forgive me, Lord, you know, and I want, you know, to be a, because what I'm teaching today is going to him first and not him last. And knowing him, when you go to him, don't wake him up and say, hey, teacher, it's Lord. And he said, I want you to really look at what's on that pillow. I said, okay. He said, Mark, this is what the disciples, they were questioning me about my care for them. And he said, really, that even goes beyond that. It goes deeper than that. They questioned my love for them. And he said, you know, when you're not coming to me, I see that as you're questioning my care for you and my love for you. You got to trust me, even in the storm. And this was what was on the other side of that pillow. Love you more. And he said, Mark, whatever you're going through, I love you more. And there's been times you've been through things and you've questioned my love and my care for you. I love you more. And so look at somebody and say, love you more. God loves you more today than you can ever imagine. And when we were singing this song, Good Grace, it talks about him being madly in love with you. And so I want us all to stand up before we go out today. And I want us to sing this song. And this time, these words are going to mean a little bit more to you as you sing this song. So let's do it, praise team. Generations of every nation.
eyes on this one truth. I was madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Where your help comes from. Oh, salvation, sin His blood. Jesus, light of heaven, friend forever, His kingdom come. So don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high, don't fear no. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God's madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from. Oh, oh, oh.
Storm if you're resting in Jesus. Amen. And before we go today, I want to make sure that everybody hearing the sound of my voice and those that are listening to us online and those that will be listening to this on the radio, I just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says in Romans 10, the Apostle Paul told us that it's very simple and easy. What we do is we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're all whosoever's. And so even if you have prayed this before and you know Jesus, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Everybody said amen. I want you to join hands with, if you're there with family or a friend, or I want you to join hands with them. Jada, would you come up here, babe? And didn't our praise team do an awesome job today? Guys, this song is a song, it's a right now message for us. I know that. And it's a song that they've been working on for a few Sundays now. It's called Good Grace. Be sure and download that on your phone so you can start the Hillsong, right, is the one that sings that, okay? So Good Grace by Hillsong, download that and start worshiping that. I mean, put that on in your vehicle when you're going to work or whatever. But I love you more, and God loves you more. And I want to pray this this blessing over you guys today, okay? I don't care what you're going through. Whatever storm that you're facing right now that you're going through, Jesus is greater than that storm. And he wants you to find rest and peace in him. Amen. Quit focusing on the problem and focus on the promise. Look to Jesus. And he's going to be with you through it all, I promise you. And he loves you more. And you may have asked, just like I have at times, God, don't you care? Don't you love me? Well, he does. He's saying, I love you more. He's saying, just get up here on the couch with me and let's just rest. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray peace over your people right now. There's people here today that are going through things and they're facing some storms, and even this week they're going to be facing some things. But God, I just pray that this word is going to carry them through, that the enemy's not going to be able to steal this word from them. God, that they're going to remember, hey, I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. I can't put my eyes on the problem. I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. And when they do that, they're going to have peace that passes all understanding. God, I just want to bless your people today as they've come in here and before they leave today. And I want to speak this blessing over them out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Hug somebody's neck and say, I love you more. I love you more.